It hasn't happened in about 7 months, I guess. But man, the first Tuesday after the first football weekend, whew, I didn't do my dishes. I didn't fold my laundry. I didn't even unpack my groceries on Tuesday. It hit me like a ton of bricks, just dropping on my head. I managed, despite the monsoon and the flooding in the area, which is good, I'm not complaining, managed on Tuesday morning to stop at the grocery store on my way home from work because I had nada in my refrigerator. My house sitter, who was taking care of the house and the pets while I was in Houston, has left food and condiments and other things in my fridge because she's also going to be taking care of the house and the pets while I am in Wisconsin starting on Saturday. Short trip, just about 3.5 days, and I won't be taking any nights off. I'll be working from Green Bay. But she left a bunch of stuff in my fridge. There's more of her stuff in my fridge than there was my food and my drinks and condiments in my fridge before I went to the grocery store because I hadn't gone since I returned from Houston. Anyway, that just kind of indicates to you why I had to go. I had to go on Tuesday morning. So I stop, I get my groceries, I'm all loaded up, I get home, I manage to feed the pets, get the cold stuff into the fridge, and at least the rest of the car was unloaded. And then, of course, Penny had to go for her walk and get her medicine. So I am about halfway down the block when all of a sudden I get hit with this wave of tired. Oy. And I'm wobbly and the dog and I are walking about the same pace, which rarely ever happens. And so I get back to the house and it was all I could do just to get back to the house, get her taken care of, get my teeth brushed, and get in bed. And I told producer Jay, I'm going to try to read a page out of my book. Oh my goodness, I didn't even make it a paragraph. Not even a paragraph out of my book before I was falling asleep, like nodding on my book. So I finally gave up and fell asleep right away. But even when I woke up, not a whole ton of energy for much of anything. It was Taco Tuesday in my house, so I managed Taco Tuesday and also had an opportunity to catch up with former Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame quarterback Danny Werfel. For those of you who are college football nerds or college football fans going back a couple decades, you'll remember Danny Werfel. He was Steve Spurrier's QB, the first big-time QB, and he not only won the Heisman, but he helped to lead the Gators to the national championship. And he, while he's got this incredible football story, he made it into the NFL for a cup of coffee, but then he discovered a different purpose and a different passion in his life. His path has been anything but easy. It's really incredible the pitfalls that he's encountered, both physical, meaning health, as well as, well, I don't want to give it away because I want you all to hear the conversation, but just as well, logistically and some of the, I would say, challenges that were thrust on him that really he had nothing to do with. And so you'll understand, like I said, I don't want to give it away because you're going to hear that conversation. But it was really good to catch up with him and to hear what he is doing now in his life. You guys will be blown away by how his path took a very drastic turn post-football. So that was also on Tuesday afternoon. Really good to talk to Danny. But that was pretty much all the energy I had between the interview and the conversation with Danny and then taking care of Penny, of course, and then Taco Tuesday. That was about it. Jay and I did a little planning for the rest of the week. We looked at some of the storylines for tonight's show, but it definitely is the hump show. It definitely does feel like that. So I'm happy that we survived the first football weekend. I believe that dipping our toe back into the football waters. We did a pretty good job. Nothing majorly derailing the show. We had some amazing storylines, as always, because that's the NFL, the best reality show on TV. I'm not sure if you saw the headline, but the Emmys, who in the world knows why the Emmys thought it was a good idea to go up against the first Monday Night Football game of the year? But the Emmys had their worst ever TV ratings because football stole whatever was left of their audience. Award shows, maybe it's just me, but they feel archaic now. Oscars, Emmys, it's not that these people aren't incredibly talented, but have you noticed, even starting before the pandemic, that people are watching less and less of TV as it pertains to really rich people winning a lot of awards and kind of these shows that emphasize the gap between them and the rest of the United States of America. And so I don't know if they'll ever be restored to their former glory, but I certainly know that up against the NFL, they've got no shot. Worst ratings ever for the Emmys. An all-time low against Monday Night Football. I tell you all the time that football is a cash cow, and it's the league that every other league wants to be when it grows up. And to that end, I saw, you know how much I love this kind of nerdy stuff. I saw this article that was kind of highlighting the earnings power of the NFL and why it is that you've got a family like the Walton Penners who will bid close to and shell out close to $5 billion to be a member of this NFL ownership group. So I'll share that with you coming up a little bit later on. Because it is the Hump Show, you know it's your opportunity to ask Amy anything. And we've decided, and it's not even an executive decision, this was a team decision after some further discussion, we've decided to put Ask Amy back into its longtime spot, which is middle show of the week, essentially the middle portion of the middle show. But for those of you who are listening in the Pacific time zone, it will be at 1:40 a.m. Pacific time, 4:40 a.m. Eastern time. We found that it really makes a big difference. Actually, we had kind of moved it around to a couple of different spots just based on interviews that we had or based on this strange desire to investigate what would happen and how it might be impacted. But we've decided that people have built their schedules and are creatures of habit. We are creatures of habit. And so it needs to go back to the spot that it's inherited or inhabited, I should say, for the better part of the last 9 years. So we have about 2.5 hours. That seems to be time for you all to come up with your creative questions. So you can send them to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. While you're there, please vote for the TD of the week. We're getting a lot of healthy traffic to our poll, both on Twitter as well as on Facebook. But if you go to After Hours CBS on Twitter, it's pinned to the top of our show Twitter account. And then you'll also see the bright orange box that says Ask Amy Anything. So you can send your questions there. I saw actually producer Jay, some of them were coming in already earlier in the week.
I did see one or two of those actually.
We have trained our listeners. I don't want to compare them to lab rats or Pavlov's dog, but we have conditioned and trained our listeners so that they know what's coming during the Hump Show. And summer was a bit of hit and miss here and there, not only with time away, but different shows moving around, yada, yada, yada. And so we are pleased to announce that Ask Amy is returning to the spot where you are most comfortable, where it feels like your sweatpants and a broken in pair of slippers. I have not yet worn my slippers this year. Well, going back to the wintertime, I haven't worn them this summer slash it's not even really fall yet. It's starting to feel like fall in some places, but it's not fall yet. So haven't worn them since probably the late spring, but I was tempted. I was tempted on Tuesday evening because it was already, the temperatures were already plummeting down to low 60s in my neighborhood. And I turned off the AC. I opened up a bunch of windows And come to find out, it's going to be 55 in my neighborhood by the time I get home in the morning, which is amazing. Bring it. Bring it on. Can I tell you something funny? My work email has a password that essentially is something along the lines of bring on summer. I'm not going to tell you what it is because just in case you can figure out where to log into my email, that's probably not a smart play by me. But it's something along the lines of let's get to summer, because in the springtime it was so busy. It was just insane, total insanity. And I just wanted the calm of summer. It didn't turn out to be that calm, but it was a breather, at least for a little bit. Now when I type it in, I think, what in the world? Why in the world did I want summer? Now, there were some fun elements to the summer. Spending time at the beach, going rafting on the Delaware River. Did three different baseball games, actually, at Fenway Park and Citi Field and Yankee Stadium. And all three of them, the temps were damn near close to 90, and actually, well, or over 90 at Fenway Park. What was it, Jay? 97 degrees at first pitch.
Oh, at least.
Oh my gosh.
98 maybe.
So hot. It was so hot. And Yankee Stadium on Saturday was blazing hot as well. We were in the sun the entire time. So my friends and I, we kind of looked around. There were a bunch of empty seats in our section, even though we were 9 rows off the field. We were directly behind the Tampa Bay Rays dugout. And she and I were looking around, and we kind of realized that a bunch of people had left our section and were either in the MVP club. We had access to the Ford Field MVP club. Or they were standing at the concourse, up at the concourse in the shade, because it was too hot.
It was so damn hot.
It was another one of those days where you're completely soaked. Every part of you, you might as well just embrace it. So the free drinks were critical. They were clutch. Just so you know, that is not normally how I go to baseball games. These happen to be a gift from the Odyssey sales department, the Yankees sales team. And I was greatly appreciative, which reminds me, I need to write them a thank you note. Anyway, lots of baseball games this summer, but the temperatures, the heat and the drought, 9+ weeks, still haven't mowed the lawn. But at least it's almost green again. There are parts of it that are blissfully green. I never thought I'd say that. But I missed my green lawn, so with the rain we've gotten, it looks as though I'll have to mow pretty soon. I don't know what the temps are going to be like in Wisconsin when I go this weekend, but I'm hoping that just for fun, there will be some temperatures on Sunday night that are down into, say, the 50s or the 60s, and so it feels a lot like football weather. I will be at the Bears-Packers game at Lambeau Field on Sunday night. I'm going to Wisconsin to honor Grammy Helen because I haven't been back since we lost her. But while I'm there, I'm doing a couple of shows from our Green Bay affiliate and also going to the game on Sunday. Everyone in Wisconsin, regardless of whether or not you're a huge football fan, and my Grammy wasn't a huge football fan, but you watch the Packers because that's what people do. That's just what you do if you live in Wisconsin. And she watched the Packers every week with my uncle. And to that end, it feels appropriate to spend some time at Lambeau and watch the Packers. And then, as I say, we'll be doing two shows from Green Bay, so we're already making preparations for that. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. I saw this post on our Facebook page. I believe the listener's name is John. But if it's not John, we'll just call him John. Because, you know, we've had a bunch of football posts already. We've got our TD of the week post up. There's just a lot happening in this first few days of the NFL season. And I don't want to misquote the man, so I'm going to go ahead and pull up the post because it's hysterical. Hold on. It actually is on our TD of the week poll, if I think, Producer Jay, if I think correctly. And he said, no, not there. Oh, nope, it's on our Dak Prescott poll. See what I mean? There's like so much happening. Okay, this is John. I enjoyed, past tense, I enjoyed all of the football talk as if it's over now. Week one in the books.
1 week, that was fun.
Football talk, it's done. It's over. I enjoyed all of the football talk, but there's always a but, isn't there? You know there's always a but. But now I just want to focus on other sports.
Okay.
Do you think he's trolling us, or do you think he's serious?
So we should just forget about football after week one. That was it. That was
I enjoyed
football season.
Past
he
tense.
Enjoyed it. He's,
I enjoyed
he's over.
It.
That was enough.
He's good,
for him. Got
that was
fixed.
Nice.
Done with football.
Thank you for doing that. Can we just get back to other sports now?
I'll take his request into consideration, but
you
I don't
will.
Know. I don't know how much. I don't know if we can improve.
I'm sorry.
It.
The host of the show has decided we will veto that suggestion. I know we offer.
I was just being nice.
We offer a suggestion box. In fact, I direct all suggestions to producer Jay. He's in fact in charge of the suggestion box. He's the gatekeeper, if you will, the filter, because I got stuff to do. Or as Tom Brady says, I'm 45. I got a lot of bleep going on. Oh my gosh. I listened to the Let's Go podcast on Tuesday evening. Really, not only funny, but very compelling. He's going to be great in the TV booth if he's the guy that he is with Jim Gray. If they can move Jim Gray into the broadcast booth with Tom Brady, they will be a fantastic combo. Because Brady is, I don't want to say he's no holds barred, because that's obviously not the case, but it is a different Tom Brady than the one that you hear at press conferences. It's completely different. He's funny. He's open. He's authentic. He's not Mr. Perfect. I mean, the man, he admits, he talks about his weaknesses. He talks about things that go wrong in games. He talks about things that you'll never hear in a press conference. Anyway, my I don't know why I got on that. My point was only that, what was my point? My point about listening to Let's Go, Tom Brady, take it into consideration. I don't know. Something about the suggestion box. And the suggestion box goes through producer Jay. It does not come to me. Because I'm Tom Brady and I got a lot of bleep going on.
I'm 45 years old, man. There's a lot of going on.
See, this is what happens. Spaghetti plate brain. And it's even more operational during the hump show. Because I have one thought, which is about how I'm 45 years old and have a lot of bleep going on. And then I think Tom Brady, and then I think podcast, and then I think Jim Gray, and then I think broadcast booth, and then I can't remember what the point was in the first place.
I don't know things!
It's just going to happen. Does it make me more lovable as a host? Don't lie. But the spaghetti plate brain, when you pull one strand of spaghetti off the plate, all other thoughts just come right off the plate. And there's just nothing
sorry.
I can do. You're not sorry. Anyway, podcast is great. And we've got a few more snippets from the podcast that I want to share with you tonight. So back to John, who says he enjoyed all of the football talk, but now just wants to focus on other sports. I responded to him. I tried to respond with humor. Wrong time of the year for that. Ha ha. I was just trying to let him down easy. I was trying to break it to him gently. I don't know if it worked.
What does he want more of is what I'm really curious to
well,
find out.
Here's what he said. I am into baseball. My team is the Yankees. Enjoy your week and keep safe. Thank you for your response. I happen to know because I see his avatar. He posts a lot on our Facebook page that he also, every time he posts, I'm glad you're back. I might not have had a day off in 4 weeks, but he's really glad I'm back.
I'm just, the 4 months we've just had of baseball, we need more of that, but 1 week of football, that's enough
I
of that.
Enjoyed it.
More baseball, though, after 4 months of nonstop baseball.
All right, well, this is for John. Just because John is in the wrong era, listening to the wrong show at the wrong time. We'll throw John, the baseball lover and the Yankees lover, a bone because it was Yankees in Boston on Tuesday night.
Pitch to Judge. Swung on and drilled to deep right field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. And to the Boston bullpen. A Judgian blast. Now the 1-1. Swung on, there it goes. Deep left field, it is high. It is far. It has gone out of the building. Over the high green monster. Over the monster seats. Out onto Lansbone. He is phenomenal. The second home run of the night for Judge. His 57th of the year. And we're all tied at four. And the 1-1 line. There's a base hit to right center field. In the alley. It'll go all the way to the wall. Three-run score. Floreal scores. It is a bases clearing. Three-run double for Gleyber Torres.
That happened in the 10th inning. And so with those three runs that the Yankees tacked on in the 10th, I did the math. It actually wasn't that difficult. In the last three games, 27 runs for the Yankees. Remember the offensive slump, the offensive woes? Well, they broke out the bat on Saturday at Yankee Stadium with 10 runs. I was there. I watched it. Good thing I wasn't late because there were 6 runs in the first inning at Yankee Stadium against the Rays. Then they had 10 games in that series ender on Sunday. Now they've got 7 runs against the Red Sox in extra innings on Tuesday. 27 runs in 3 games. And while the Blue Jays and Rays are battling back and forth and split their doubleheader on Tuesday, the Yankees are sitting now on their 6-game lead after they beat the Red Sox in extras. But the big headline, the one you'll see, it honestly might be bigger if you're not a Yankees fan and you're not paying attention to this AL East race, more people around the country care right now that Aaron Judge is encroaching on Yankees history and American League history. In the 6th inning and the 8th innings, you hear it with John Sterling on Yankees radio, home run number 56 and home run number 57. And don't tell Aaron Judge where he stands or how many home runs he's got to go.
If you're checking the numbers, you're going to get caught. So I just, you know, just keep trying to do what I can do. And, you know, the numbers will take care of themselves. If I have a good plan, have a good approach, do what I need to do in the box, you know, all that other stuff will show up. You know, as a kid, you know, you look up and you see Albert Pujols hitting 330 every year and consistently putting up the RBI numbers and stuff like that. So for me, grading the hitter has always been about average. You know, it might be a little old school, but, you know, can you hit or can you hit?
I'm out of adjectives. Just really impressive. I mean, to take one out like he did the other way, and then get Whitlock on look like a breaking ball where he's riding balls out so well. I think he's aware of what's going on, but I think when your priorities are right and around team and around leading this team and being the guy, it keeps it simple.
He is definitely the guy. He is definitely the man. And the more that I watch Judge and see the fans react to him, the more I think, and this is just my personal opinion, I'm sure I'm not the only one, I'm not alone on my island, but having been at Yankee Stadium, and it wasn't even full. It was probably 2/3 full on Saturday. Don't know why, because the Yankees were sucking before that, because it was hot. I have no idea why, because Yankees fans are spoiled rotten. I'm not really sure.
Hooligans.
But maybe because of that. Anyway, the stadium never got full, not even close to full. And yet there is an unmistakable, indelible buzz when Aaron Judge does anything. And he was playing center field on Saturday. Giancarlo Stanton was in the game as well. But whenever, and was Judge leading off? No, he was leading off. Was he leading off on Saturday? I can't remember now. Anyway, he was the star. He is the attraction. And it's not just because he's chasing this home run record. If the Yankees lose him, it's a huge blow. So my PSA to the New York Yankees is do whatever you have to do to be able to keep him. Yes, he led off. So the people that missed the beginning of the game, thank you, producer Jay, they missed him. He had 2 hits in the first inning. The Yankees batted around in the first inning on Saturday, and he had 2 hits in the first inning alone. And as I've said before, when the rest of the Yankees lineup is hitting, it makes it nigh impossible for pitchers to pitch around him, right? Like they can't get around him because they can't just put him on base and assume that no one else is going to hit. So it's a big deal right now. And the Yankees obviously are chasing a division title, but all eyes on Aaron Judge, not just in New York, but around the league and certainly with the casual fans because he is a lightning rod. All right, I didn't realize how late I just went with the first segment. Please forgive me for yammering on and on. I mean, that is kind of what I do on the show, but I should be mindful of the timestamps. So coming up later on the show, ask Amy anything. Send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page. Vote for the TD of the week. You'll hear those candidates coming up. I'm listening to every Albert Pujols at bat now on Cardinals radio because I want to hear it from their perspective. So we'll give you the update on Albert. We've got one team already that's won a division title. I bet you can't guess which one. And an update on Dak Prescott too. So a lot happening on this edition of the show. it is the hump show. It's the middle show of the work week, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Feathers belting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Brady will go under center, first and goal from the five, ball resting in between the hash marks. Here's the snap, Brady back, lobs it left corner for Mike Evans. Oh, one-handed wow. Grab! Mike Evans makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Tom Brady puts it in the air, and Mike Evans reaching up snatches it down with one hand. The Buccaneers add to their lead.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Play action, Kirk back to pass. He'll throw right. Look at that! Jefferson uncovered, 20-15 can. Dances to the right to the five. Dives for the end zone! Touchdown! And JJ is killing them again!
The New Orleans Saints.
First and goal for the Saints. Snap to Winston, throws to the end zone, and that is going to be a touchdown. Left side. Welcome back, number 13, Mike Thomas. His first touchdown since 2019.
The Chicago Bears.
Stunt picked up up front. Eric Armstead being shoved out of the way, circling out of it, pivoting to set up a throw. Wide open near side. Pass is caught. There's Pettis to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, to the end zone! Wow! Justin Fields to a wide open Dante Pettis.
That's just four of them. It was quite a first weekend in the NFL with individual feats of strength that dazzle, that cause your jaw to drop open. And people ask me all the time, how do you do it? Or why not this touchdown or that touchdown? Well, we generally start with winning teams because at least that's one way to be able to narrow it down. And then we look for winning touchdowns for winning teams. Or in the case of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Westwood One Sunday night, the only touchdown, but it just happened to be a very impressive one-handed twisting, falling down catch. I feel like Kevin Harlan right now with Mike Evans and the connection that he and Brady have. So that's one candidate. Also from Paul Allen on Vikings Radio, Justin Jefferson. My goodness, if this is what we're in store for, he could set all kinds of records this year. On Saints Radio, welcome back Mike Thomas to the tune of two scores. And then Justin Fields, one of the impressive plays in the slop in Chicago. Bears Radio with Jeff Joniak as he finds Dante Pettis cross body, cross field. So you can vote on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and I'll retweet now. And then on our Facebook page, you just have to scroll down a little ways and you will see the TD of the week poll. First week of the NFL season, and of course, it's the first time that we're getting back into our routines and our familiar rhythms, which is fun. We love this kind of stuff. When last we left you, there was a major uproar coming out of Seattle because new head coach, rookie head coach Nathaniel Hackett, had made a dubious decision to kick a 64-yard field goal in Seattle as opposed to giving the ball to his quarterback, Russell Wilson, on a 4th and 5, under a minute to go. Forget the part about the timeout because there's really no explaining that, and he had no explanation for it. But would you believe that Hackett has done a bit of an about-face now, not even 24 hours after the game? He revisits the decision to kick what would have been the longest field goal in NFL, second longest field goal in NFL history, versus giving his, was it $258 million quarterback the football on 4th and 5? I'm pretty sure Pete Carroll would have given Russell Wilson the football in that situation, but is it possible that Pete Carroll knows Russell Wilson better than Nathaniel Hackett does? probably does maybe trust him or did a little more too. So you're going to hear from the new Denver head coach, but oh my gosh, I was reminded it only took 1 week of the NFL season, Marco Belletti, to be reminded of how insane football fans are and the hot takes that literally wear me out. There are people who are ready to fire him after week one. I mean, I get it. It was a really bad loss, and he made some awful decisions, and I'm not suggesting that you just overlook those, and the buck stops with the coach, but for heaven's sakes, seriously, fire him after 1 week? That's a great idea.
Look, obviously, that's extreme, but it's the idea, yes. It's the idea that here you are, the standard that you set in the first game, you got a new quarterback, you're supposed to be able to hand the keys to him. The first big decision that you make, you fumble it. And then there's no way around it. Then worse for me, then you come back not even, 12 hours later roughly, and you're like, yeah, I probably made a big giant mistake. But hear what I was thinking, and I was still kind of going toward, like, even when he admitted the mistake, he still hedged the bet. So it's still the idea that, like, you almost want to sit him down and, like, do you realize 64 yards? I don't care how much confidence you have in 64 yards.
Seriously.
No.
And he's got a track record. He was 0-for. It's not like he'd never tried those before. Anything over 62, Brandon McManus had never made it.
And it's not enough for me to hear, well, he's got the leg for it. Super. That's not exactly what this is. This is not a kickoff. It's not if it goes in the area. It must go through the uprights. It's not about just how far you can kick it. You got the idea. I mean, he actually got it off. You can easily get blocked at 64 yards. Like, there's too much going against you. Fourth and five with Russell Wilson should not be something where you're looking at it as Mount Everest. That is something that you should be able to do. You should convert that.
Agreed. I will say the only reason why game situation where you might not have confidence is because they had been on the 1 yard line multiple times and had fumbled the ball and failed to get into the end zone. So I don't think the game was lost on that play.
No. There's a lot of mistakes that they made.
12 penalties, 0-for-4 in the red zone.
I get
like
all that.
It was bad, but
when you're setting up a regime, when you're setting up year one, you set a really poor tone because you basically told your entire locker room, I don't trust you guys. That's not the way to go about it. The only guy that right now is sitting there with a lot of trust is your kicker. No good. No good.
And I have to say, it dawned on me as I was thinking about it Tuesday, listening to the hot take reaction, the difference between Brian Daboll, the new head coach of the Giants, who had his guys saying, F yeah, like jumping on him after they go for two and the win, as opposed to settling for the point after and the tie against the Titans on Sunday. I mean, they were so psyched that he trusted them and gave them that opportunity, even though, I mean, it's obviously not fourth and five. It's not that far, but to go for the win and say, screw it, we're not settling for a tie, we're not going to look like losers, to be aggressive, that instills such not only a great confidence, but an awesome spirit in your locker room. The guys were psyched after that happened.
It sets the tone. Sets the tone. And again, know that. Know when you come in as the first year head coach and the first few games, you're not just playing for today. You're playing for your career, for your regime, if you will. You got to set the tone. I know that sounds ridiculous. You're like, 3 weeks later, it doesn't matter. These are human beings.
Oh, it might matter.
These are not robots. It's not like they forget this stuff. These guys have feelings. They have thoughts. They have where they look around and they go, is this really the guy? Like, does he even have any idea of what he's doing? That happens in locker rooms.
It does.
You can lose your players real quick. Just as fast as you can get them to rally behind you, you can lose all of them. You need to set the tone. You need to make your opinion strong. You need to follow
like
through.
Like yours. Like yours.
Look, I understand this is all difficult and these are all hard jobs, but like it's almost like we have to sit them down. It's like, did you ever do PR? Like, there's a lot of this job that's not just X's and O's. This can't just be done on the blackboard. You can't just come up with a good play on a crossing pattern.
They use whiteboards now. Okay. My mom even uses a whiteboard in the classroom.
I don't care. These are the things that make me nuts because there's so many things that are just so easily solved from the beginning, and then you set yourself up to fail. And then everybody else is looking around and going, yeah, you know what? I got to tell you, it started right from the start. It just didn't work out. Why? Set yourself up for it.
I see. This is why we love Marco, but I don't feel bad about going late anymore because you know, he's here.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
A 64-yard field goal try by Denver to take the lead. Ball put down. Right-footed kick is away, and it is no good. Wide left. And the sideline erupts for Seattle. 15 seconds to go. They'll take over.
I wasn't speechless earlier. I was just told not to speak. Right now, I'm speechless. I can't believe they took the ball out of Russell Wilson's hands to kick a 64-yard field goal to try to win this game.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Kevin Harlan with the call on Westwood One from Monday Night Football and the fateful 64-yard kick. But you also hear the reaction of Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner. Now, generally, Kurt does err on the side of quarterbacks because he believes that quarterbacks should have the ball in their hands. I'm just saying. But in that particular case, he was not alone in his opinion that you are taking the ball away from the quarterback that you traded multiple starters and draft picks to get on your roster and in that huddle because you wanted a guy of his caliber, a Pro Bowler who could take command in those situations. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Vote for the TD of the week. It wasn't there because it was a kick instead, but you can vote on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, and we're taking your questions for Ask Amy Anything as well. So Nathaniel Hackett meeting with the media on Tuesday, changing his tune a little bit about his desire or his decision to go for a 64-yard game-winning field goal instead of the 4th and 5 with his offense.
Looking back at it, we definitely should have gone for it. Just not, you know, one of those things. You look back at it and you say, of course we should go for it. We missed the field goal. But in that situation, we had a plan. I mean, we had a plan. We knew that the 46 was the mark. We were 3rd and 15, I think, 3rd and 13. I'm more upset about that play before it, to lose yards, to be able to, you know, getting that there would have definitely been better to be able to call that same play and get extra yards.
I mean, I had a plan to get married by the time I was 35 and have kids, but it didn't happen. Like, sometimes you just gotta roll with it. Not every single decision in life can be laid out. There's no flow chart for what happens in the final minute of an NFL game. If this, then this. And I know it may seem like it's that easy, right? It's not. You're considering the atmosphere. You're considering the personnel that you have. And in his case, they thought that Brandon McManus had told them if they were on the 46, the left hash, whatever it was, that he could make the kick, that he had plenty of distance. But distance and accuracy are not the same thing, not to mention that was Seattle in a hostile crowd. It wasn't the thin air of Denver. Completely a learning moment, sure, but also an epic failure in what was his first big test as the head coach. So can we ask you again, why? Why did you go for the field goal, coach?
We were expecting to go for it on fourth down, and then you hit the mark. You know, the mark that we had all set before we started.
Mark.
We said 46-yard line was where we wanted to be, and we got there. So we had to make the decision if we wanted to give it to, Brandon, and we did. And it didn't work. It sucks, but, hey, that's part of it.
I just can't believe that they actually changed their minds. If he's telling the truth, and they were going to go for it on fourth down. But I think that's fairly obvious. We could all watch the TV, know that they're trailing by a point. They're not even at midfield. Well, they're about midfield. With a 3rd and 14, they had gotten the 9 yards from Javonte Williams and gotten over midfield. But still, they're pretty damn close. That's 4 down territory. I mean, that's just obvious that we call it 4 down territory for a reason. It's late game situations, and that's why you have a valuable quarterback for moments like these. Could you imagine trying to take the ball out of Tom Brady's hands in that situation? Not to mention, wouldn't you be supremely confident that Tom Brady would, in fact, find a way to convert a fourth down? Would you take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands? Would you take the ball out of Justin Herbert's hands or Lamar Jackson's hands on a 4th and 5? Am I missing anyone? Would you take the ball out of Ryan Tannehill's hands? I mean, he's not even an elite quarterback, but he's a veteran and he's accurate. Would you take it out of Matt Ryan's hands? I guess now that they've cut their kicker, you probably would never take it out of your quarterback's hands if you're Colts head coach Frank Reich. I understand that Coach Hackett believed in his kicker, but that's not a high percentage play.
I think that when you sit there and say he's, we all know he's got a big leg. You know, he's been kicking for a long time, you know, and wanted to, you know, give him that opportunity, wanted to give him a chance to be able to win the game right there. And he had the distance, just went a little bit left. And it's just one of those things. It's unfortunate, but that was our plan going into it. And, you know, obviously looking back at it, you know, if you missed the field goal, you're always going to wish you would have gone for it. And if you would have gone for it and not gotten it, you wish you would have given him a chance.
I don't know about that. I don't know that there's anybody out there who thinks they should have kicked a 64-yard field goal, even though we don't know the outcome of the 4th and 5. I agree with pretty much every former player, current player, analyst, expert, yada, 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 who's yelling, that's why you brought Russell Wilson to town. That's why you gave up so much. If not for that scenario, then what? What's Russell Wilson good for if not that exact situation? Speaking of quarterbacks, former Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Famer Danny Werfel of Florida is next. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.